Yo, Rob Harvilla from 60 Songs That Explain the 90s here to inform you that we are back with 30 more songs because the 90s were super long and had a ton of rad music. Please join us every Wednesday for more 60 Songs That Explain the 90s only on Spotify.
Welcome to Pop Culture History Lesson. My name is Amelia Wedemeyer, and today I'm so excited. I am joined by Alyssa Bereznek, and we are talking about Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan's legal troubles circa 2007. Alyssa, are you excited?
Yeah, I'm really happy that we've come together to commemorate this moment in history. And arguably, I would say the flop eras of the most famous women in the mid and late aughts.
That is, you know what? You're 100% correct. Yeah. We're going to talk about it like that. Yeah, it's 100% true. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the context where they were at the time. Again, this is like 2007, but we'll be, you know, covering a little bit beforehand and then afterwards. And we're specifically talking about this because Paris Hilton, she asked for a pardon from then California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then Lindsay Lohan was arrested for the first time shortly thereafter. And this all happened 15 years ago. Can you believe 15 years ago?
Yeah. 2007. It was just a really wild year.
It really was. And now, you know what? They're on to bigger and better things. So yeah, let's get into it. Let's talk a little bit about Paris Hilton.
So Paris Hilton is obviously just a very privileged, famous person before 2007. She is famously the heir to the Hilton Hotel family.
Yes.
She has she's beautiful. She's beautiful, tall, thin. Mm-hmm. I think like really fits in that's the sort of beauty ideals of the aughts, strange as they were. and she is also just like in the mood to get famous. Like she really, really, really wants attention. And we learn the context for the deep trauma context for that much later on in her documentary that she released in 2020.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Which is that her parents like sent her away to like a terrible teen camp and she was abused and beaten there. Yeah.
Really sad.
But this is like her acting out on that trauma, I would say. I just want to preface that because Paris was hurting, but also it was pretty fabulous. So in 2000, she poses for this very famous IT photographer, Dave LaChapelle, in her grandparents' home, like topless, like flipping off the camera.
It's so good.
Yeah. And it's accompanied by this amazing article by Nancy Jo Sayles.
The icon, Nancy Jo.
Yeah. Like the original sort of tabloid. Oh,
I mean, responsible for so many iconic, like the Leonardo DiCaprio Pussy Posse that originated with her.
The bling ring.
The bling ring. Nancy Jo, this is Alexis Nyers calling. Her. Yeah.
And so Paris was 19 then. Nikki was 16. And then, you know, after that, like life just like fast forwards for them. There's that 2004 sex tape, which we later learn was leaked without her permission. And she still feels a lot of shame about. But that definitely made her much more famous. Mm-hmm. And then that led to the simple life.
Simple life, yes.
Yeah. That led to the simple life, which was about like her and Nicole Richie also.
So
like
good.
A famous Hollywood child just like going and living in the sticks and like being disgusted by poor people, which again,
exactly,
like that would never fly today.
Never.
And amid this time, her catchphrase emerges and it's, that's hot.
That's hot. Which that took the world by storm, honestly. It was, that's hot and you're fired. Do you remember those two catchphrases? Really, really good stuff. You're right. That's where she is kind of right now. And which brings us to the timeline, which is it's September 27th, 2006. And Paris, she's arrested on suspicion of DUI while on her way to In-N-Out Burger, which I feel like is the quintessential California food joint, you know?
Yeah. The theme that you will see here is like, as someone who grew up in the California suburbs, like all of this is just like so deeply suburban Californian troubled teen. Like it's
it's true. It's true. Oh my God. That's so funny.
So yeah. And I remember, I think that the like the argument there was that like she was on her wit, like Elliot Mintz, who we need to like, that's her publicist. And he steps in and he's like, she had a single margarita at a charity event and she was actually just trying to fill her stomach with something. Like, she was drinking on an empty stomach. and so that's how it starts.
That is how it starts. You're right. And so, she, we get a mugshot and everything. I feel like this is kind of the beginning of those It Girl mugshots that are still live on in infamy to this day. That we've got the Nicole Richie one. We'll talk about Lindsay Lohan. There's a Khloe Kardashian one. There are a lot of good ones.
There's lots of memes of them.
Exactly. That is so true. There's a lot of also repurposing of them on like Redbubble for like for t-shirts and stuff.
And they're like hung up in like a lot of like LA restaurants for some reason.
That's a good point. That's true. So in January of 2007, Paris pleads down to reckless driving and she is sentenced to 3 years probation and she's ordered to attend alcohol education classes. She's also fined $1,500. And then, unfortunately, February 27th, 2007, Paris is pulled over again for driving on a suspended license. Not good.
You know, and it's like the question here, which is a question that will continue through this episode, is like, why just not have someone drive you around? You're so rich.
Serious? It's wild. It's crazy. I don't even know. And like you'll mention later, you know, Uber wasn't invented then, but I mean, you still couldn't have a personal driver. I just...
There's such thing as a chauffeur, especially if you're that rich.
I know. Anyway.
So she's pulled over for driving on a suspended license. Yeah. That's February 27th, 2007. Yes. And then this is like, this is the sort of moment that leads up to the most amazing thing that's ever happened in the history of pop culture, in my opinion. I take that back. Maybe not the most amazing thing, but just something that... is so dear to my heart.
One of the best, yeah. Which is, she writes on her MySpace blog that her friend Joshua, who I've never heard of this Joshua person. Have you?
No, but you know, there's a lot of hangers on and there's a lot of like rich people's kids who never got super famous. So it's really hard. Sometimes it's just really hard to know like who each friend, they just were going in and out, you know?
You're so right. So anyway, he has started a petition to ask then Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to pardon Paris from jail. And this comes after, you know, she was sentenced to serve 45 days in the Century Regional Detention Facility in Linwood, which we'll hear again, for driving with that suspended license after a DWI bust.
Right. And the important thing to remember here is that Paris shares this petition on her MySpace. And,
MySpace!
Yeah, which is just a really important detail. And then while sharing it, she misspells the word sign.
It's iconic.
So like all of the like, you know, tabloids that pick it up have to like write sick next to sign when they're quoting her, which is just funny. And then I'm just going to read to you the actual petition because I've just... it's an important history document. Obviously. It's like the Magna Carta of the aughts.
Yes.
Okay. To the Honorable Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, Paris Whitney Hilton is an American celebrity and socialite. She is an heiress to a share of the Hilton Hotel fortune, as well as to the real estate fortune of her father, Richard Hilton. She provides hope for young people all over the U.S. and the world. She provides beauty and excitement to most of our otherwise mundane lives.
I mean,
Hilton is notable for her leading roles on the Fox reality series The Simple Life and in the remake of the Vincent Price horror classic House of Wax, which, by the way, I walked out of. It was so bad.
Did you really?
Yeah. In addition to her work as an actress, she has achieved some recognition as a model, celebrity spokesperson, singer, and writer. As most of America now knows, Miss Hilton was just charged in a Los Angeles court with DUI and sentenced to 45 days in Century Regional Detention Facility in California beginning on or before June 5th, 2007. We, the American public, who support Paris, are shocked, dismayed, and appalled by how Paris has been the person to be used as an example that drunk driving is wrong. We do not support drunk driving or DUI charges. Paris should have been sober, but she shouldn't go to jail either. As depicted on Friday night's episode, Nancy Grace, blah, 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 blah. She's just citing a lot of like men who have been arrested but never did a day in jail after their initial arrest, making some good points.
Totally.
There's some talk about like Brandy's hit and run, which is a whole other
can
of worms. Oh my God,
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just going to fast forward. Like, she didn't hurt or kill anyone and she has learned her lesson. She's sincere, apologetic, and full of regret for her actions, as she explained tearfully to the judge handling her case in court yesterday. Blah, 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 blah. If the late former president Gerald Ford could find it in his heart to pardon the late former president Richard Nixon after his mistake.
Oh my God, they are invoking American history. I love it. Yeah.
We undeniably support Paris Hilton being pardoned for her honest mistake as well. And we hope and expect the governor will understand and grant this unusual but important request in good faith to Miss Paris Whitney Hilton.
Listen, he brought up some good points, okay? He made his argument and he did not do a bad job. That
definitely
is
definitely, this is an essay that I would write in high school.
Exactly.
Like, it's like I've like learned all the things in the debate club, right? Like all the transition sentences.
You've taken US history, you did AP US history, you know what you can relate it back to.
Anyway, God. Anyway, like, I should say that 33,961 people signed this.
Which is amazing. And honestly, I kind of see this as almost, I mean, again, I don't really know exactly where Stan culture started, but this is almost like Stan culture, you know, people picking up on this and signing it and being like, yes, she deserves not to be in jail, almost, you know?
Yeah, yeah, sort of like going to the public opinion for some sort of support and using the power that they've amassed in the media to push back. And it is like, I do think that there was just kind of like a target on both Paris and Lindsay's backs because they represented something very excessive about American culture that I think a lot of the rest of the country both celebrated because it was entertaining and wanted to punish them for because they were so free. It's like there's a lot of misogyny baked into it.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, and you can, you know, there are still parallels to this today. Like, you know, I don't want to bring up the Kardashians for the millionth time, but there is something to be said about that and whatnot. And you're so right. I mean, there is a lot of kind of, we're going to make an example out of someone we don't like just because, you know, they're who they are. So,
right.
But yeah, so, you know, unfortunately it doesn't work. So on June 5th, 2007, Paris turns herself into the county jail. And on June 6, 2007, TMZ publishes a drawing that Paris Hilton has slipped Harvey Levin as she was being released from jail due to overcrowding.
Right. And we should just note that this was a very short jail sentence, right? Like, how long was it?
It was like literally a day.
Something like that. It's just like, we got to get her in and we got to get her out. It's almost like a press, like step and repeat for the LAPD or something.
That's so true. It's so
true. Because it's like, it's just actually too much work to keep her there just to like, you know, for, I guess, for security reasons.
Totally. And there is also, I mean, they cited overcrowding, which I believe. And she also says on June 7th, that after she's been reassigned to monitored house arrest for the next 40 days due to an undisclosed medical condition. And E! News later claims that this is claustrophobia. But she actually clears this up later and says it was due to anxiety and panic attacks. So,
which would make a lot of sense given like her history in like the terrible teens, like terror schools. Like, that probably sucked for her.
It did. And I watched the whole This Is Paris doc and it was actually really good. And she does talk about being like locked in a room in a tiny confined room and being beaten and stuff. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Also, I just want to briefly talk about this sketch that she made and gave to Harvey Levin. It's of herself. She is dressed in, you know, what appears to be jail clothing because it says the LA County Jail. She also has an image of a payphone and a TV, one of those TVs that like hang from the wall. And it's Harvey Levin and he's on Larry King Live apparently talking about her. And it's accompanied by a little note. And the note says, "Dear Harvey, I just wanted to thank you for your fair and unbiased reporting of the events in my case. I truly appreciate it. I think TMZ is a great website because of its reputation for accurately reporting the facts. Thank you, Paris Hilton." And all the little eyes, their hearts.
so polite and like gracious of her.
Yes.
Also, just like, my drawing skills are terrible, but like clearly she had a lot of time.
She did. I know, because it's not bad.
Yeah, like it's like she really like spent a lot of detail on her hair.
Yes, she did. And the eyes are like kind of that popular anime style that was big in the 2000s.
Like, it's weird how like even when you're like sort of a young teenage girl, like people adopt different things with like handwriting. And like
yes!
I was very big into notes then. So I just like recognize a lot of like sort of like this, like that communication avenue as currency in this
note.
It's just like it's made hilarious by the fact that it's to Paris Hilton, or from Paris Hilton to Harvey Levin.
It's amazing. It's true. I want to know where that note is today. And honestly,
I hope he has it framed in his office.
I hope so too. And then, you know, when he dies, it can be part of his estate sale and maybe I'll buy it. I don't know. So anyway, after all this, on the 7th, she's reassigned. Well, on June 8th, she's actually ordered back to jail, which is, too bad, I guess.
She was pulled out of court crying for this one. I think.
It's kind of messed up. I mean,
it's really terrible.
You know, it's too bad. And then she actually stays there for a few weeks because on June 26th, she is released from jail for good behavior and overcrowding. And I just want to say that for all of you listening to this, you can actually go to Getty Images and type in Paris Hilton jail and it will pop up. There's a whole album dedicated to this and it's Paris Hilton out of jail after 23 days.
Oh my God, yes. And her mom is like greeting her and
Kathy,
stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now on our Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She's there. And we also get to see for the first, I remember seeing these photos and being like, oh my God, that is what she looks like without her blue contact lenses, because she always wore those blue contact lenses. And she actually has brown eyes.
Yeah, she has like no fake eyelashes or anything in this. And it's like, it's almost jarring. She looks great. Like no matter what, she really pulls it together. Like that is, just like Paris Hilton.
But it is amazing. Yeah.
You can tell this is much more dressed down. She is wearing heels though.
She is wearing heels. That is true. But she's got like, she's looking like very demure and sweet. Again, she doesn't have the color contact. So she's rocking the au naturel eyes. She has a braid and she's also wearing, do you remember when the, like those structured, this isn't even a blazer. It's more of like a shirt blazer. They were really big, I remember.
Yeah, with cap sleeves and stuff. It's just, that entire era, like just the least flattering clothing I can think of.
But it's like business casual, kind of, you know?
Sure. Yeah. It's like, I'm a woman about town.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But casually, because I'm young or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, God.
Exactly. Yeah, and she just like lays low for a few months after that, right? Like she just
does.
Like really clearly doesn't want to go back to jail.
Which I don't blame her. So
And
then on September 28th, she does make an appearance on the David Letterman show.
Oh my God, I hate this appearance. Well, I mean, I don't hate her for it, but
sure.
I just like, I think that David Letterman was like really mean to her. Like
Yes, agreed. And people are reexamining a lot of his interviews, which, I mean, you know, I guess.
Yeah, given how he, like, ended up leaving television, I think it's in line.
It's so true.
Basically, you can tell that, in the interview, he doesn't, maybe her camp said, I don't want to talk about jail. But he immediately brings up jail, and she's clearly very uncomfortable by it. And he, like, she keeps saying, I like don't want to talk about this. It was clearly like traumatic for her, but it, like everyone in the audience is laughing. So it's sort of like, to me, would be my worst nightmare. Like I've done this like really embarrassing thing in my 20s, which is like I've done 10 million embarrassing things in my 20s. And then like you have to be on a like a talk show where
a late night show where millions of people are going to watch it. There are also, you know, hundreds of people in the audience and you have to discuss like, yes, that, again, I would simply pass away.
Yeah. But, you know, like she powers through it and she changes the subject to like the businesses she's starting and like the...
It's a great pivot.
Yeah. Like, I think that if we learn anything from this like flop era of Paris Hilton's, it's that she immediately was like, oh, I need to like consolidate all of this power I've gained from being like a person in the tabloids.
Yeah.
And now use it to make tons of money.
It's true. And it's honestly, it's impressive.
Yeah.
You know, because what else are you supposed to? I mean, you can either, you know, let this debilitate you for the rest of your life or, you know, turn it into something else, which I think she definitely did. And
definitely. But, you know, like no matter what, she's still a super privileged person who went through a difficult thing in a public spotlight. So definitely. In that way, she's an easy target. And it's why, and like, that's why I love that petition
right.
to bring it back.
Oh my God.
Because it's just like, it's so earnest in its like thought that like, if I just write this really nice note to the governor who might be a friend of a friend of a friend,
right.
like, everything will be okay.
it's so true. And again, like the fact that he invokes Gerald Ford and it's just like, there's so many elements to it that are, it's just like you were saying, very much like a teen writing in high school about, you know, a certain subject. That's what it is. And it's really great. It's really good. Oh
yeah.
Gosh.
And there are parallel tracks here, right?
There are to the one and only Miss Lindsay Lohan. Would you like to talk a little bit about her career?
Yeah. So Lindsay became like her big breakout role. She'd been a teen star for a long time. I think I looked up her IMDb page and like her very first role was on Sesame Street or something as
A
kid dressed as garbage.
That's amazing.
Which is like a pretty great like first IMDb entry.
It is.
And
she got her SAG card with that one.
Yeah, totally. And she became a big star with her breakout role in the 1998 Nancy Meyers film Parent Trap.
Literally one of my favorite movies to this day. It's so good.
It's amazing. She plays twin girls who like discover that like that they have a sister at camp. And
she's British and also from America. I mean,
and she nails it. She's a great actress.
She nails it. She's amazing in this movie. Yeah, totally.
I literally thought she was a twin.
Me too.
Somehow the twin was English. like when I was watching that movie growing up.
Me too. I was shocked to find out it was one girl. Totally. She kills it in that role.
Right. So she's 10. And after that, she's just like cast as like, you know, in a lot of big roles. She's growing up in the spotlight. She was in Freaky Friday, which was like that body switching movie.
Yes. With Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes. And then Mean Girls, which was just bigger than like anything. Like it was just a huge unexpected hit. And that's what really truly made her like the Hollywood darling, like,
yes,
on covers, everything. But that also entered her into the world of like partying and clubs and paparazzi. And I don't know how much you know about Lindsay's background as well, but like, from what I understand, her parents weren't necessarily like emotional support systems for her.
Yeah. Her dad was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah.
And there was a certain level of like exploitation in terms of, like her being a child actor.
Right. Like her mom was, I think her mom was like a former Rockette and stuff. And there was like a stage mom kind of vibes coming from her.
Yeah,
and everything.
Definitely. Yeah. Her mom was in the tabloids a lot.
Yes.
Dina Lohan. And so imagine like the cameras descending on you, like you just becoming famous, having this whole world of clubs open up to you. It's the era of Kitson in LA.
Oh my God. I mean, we could do a whole other episode on Kitson, but I also remember at the time people were so obsessed with her body because she had, you know, I don't want to sound crude, but she had just like these natural big breasts and people, I just remember people being obsessed with her breasts.
Yeah, and it started at a really uncomfortable time. Like
exactly, yeah. It was really messed up. Not thinking back at it, it's any different now because I feel
like that's happening on TikTok just through like actually like through the means of like the teens themselves.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But it was like weird. Like that is a theme that runs through like all mid-aughts culture is like these girls were like 10 or 11 when they got famous and almost immediately were sort of like set into
sexualized.
Just like being super, super, super sexualized. Yeah.
Totally, totally.
But like, yeah, Lindsay Lohan had a great body. Okay. So then comes May 26, 2007.
It does. She's 20 at the time and she's arrested for driving under the influence in Beverly Hills. After she loses control of her Mercedes-Benz convertible and she strikes a curb. And soon thereafter, she heads for the infamous Promises Rehab.
Yeah, and this is where that first mugshot came from.
The first mugshot.
Where she's kind of looking confused. She does look, yeah. Yeah. And maybe just sort of like it's all sinking into her.
It's like, exactly right. And she has the blonde hair. And usually, you know, she was famous for the red hair. Now she has the blonde hair. And yeah, it's too bad. And, you know, do you remember? I'm like a weirdo and I like remember all of her mugshots. But
oh, yeah, because there would be like those slideshows where they would like show it evolving over time.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Like, I don't know where I like consumed this as a kid, but I would just like be clicking through to see all of them. And like
it was everywhere.
Slowly, like you can see maybe sort of like the innocence of. Right.
Partying
the effects
and
of
whatnot.
Partying in Hollywood, but also the innocence sort of draining from her face, and then there's
totally
like a small smirk arriving.
Yes. Oh God. And honest, I mean, you know, again, she looks great. I'm sorry. I know that's not the tone. I'm not striking a good tone, but she does look great, and she's rocking on her last mugshot when she was 26. So this is years later after when we're talking about, but she's wearing a bomber jacket that looks nearly identical to the one she wore in The Parent Trap. I'm just like, wow, it comes full circle, you know?
Yeah. And it was significant to, I think, like anyone who became a super fan of hers from watching The Parent Trap. Like it sounds like it was an important movie for both of us.
Oh,
but like, yes. It was just sort of like, oh my God, this is coming of age for an idol of mine that I relate to in some way. And it was so just like deeply messy. I just need to note, I don't know how relevant this is, but like 2007 was this like year of party and excess. And then 2008 was the Great Recession. So
that is such a good point. That's a great thing to point out.
They like in a way, both Paris and Lindsay, and I think Lindsay more so, mm-hmm. like were holding a lot of like the symbolism of American excess and like uncontrolled capitalism, like on their shoulders, and our obsession with media and sexuality and all those things, like on their shoulders, like they were embodying it. So like when this mugshot comes out, like that's what I think of. I think of like America's on the brink of learning a lesson.
No, it's so, and also it's like, this is the tail end of the Bush years. We're coming into the Obama years. But, and you know, you have, and I don't mean to get into my childhood and adolescence, but, you know, the 2000s were a very formative time for me. I'm sure they were for you as well. But, you know, that's like post 9/11. We're still, you know, within 10 years of 9/11 and the Iraq and Afghanistan wars and everything. And there is that, like you're saying, kind of overlying excess kind of narrative being played here and anything to distract us from certain things.
Completely. The unfortunate thing about this arrest was she's 20 years old and she really only had like a week or two until her 21st
Literally.
Birthday.
Yes. Yes. And I do want to mention, you know, at the time, sorry, this isn't funny. May 28th. So like a couple days after all the arrest happens, Svedka, which was supposed to be sponsoring her 21st birthday in Vegas, decides to pull out. And that's when you know it's real.
Yeah, not a good look for a vodka brand to be there for that moment.
So, yeah.
Though maybe these days they would probably like it. like I feel like there were like weird standards back then that like brands have just completely abandoned.
It's so true. It's so true. Oh my God. Yeah. And then on July 2nd, 2007, she turns 21. So she does turn 21, like you said, like literally a week after. And then at the end of the month, J- July 24th, 2007, she is arrested again on suspicion of driving under the influence, driving on a suspended license, and possession of cocaine.
Yeah. And again, in this situation, it's just sort of like, if it happens once, I would like for you to get a driver. And, you know, I've looked on old paparazzi videos, and sometimes they do. I just think that these are like late night decisions being made. Like,
totally.
Just
totally.
You know what I mean? Like, that is a thing that happens in the world. Like, people make stupid late night decisions.
Yes.
And like, I think this is a great instance of that.
It is. And same with like the, because I do believe what Elliot Mintz said about her had one margarita and she just wanted to fill her stomach on something. Like, I that is very believable to me.
Yeah, like the Paris Hilton thing, for sure.
Yes, exactly.
No, totally. I mean, Elliot Mintz also is like a wild person. Like, if you don't know who Elliot Mintz is, like, Google his face. Like, he is the original orange raisin. Like, and he's also famously the publicist for John and Yoko. Been around the biz. But yeah, so it's a second time. And really, this is a kind of a sad moment for Lindsay, I think, because she really had a chance to be like super critically acclaimed as an actress.
Totally.
She had the talent, she had the fame, but she's not doing well here. She doesn't have a support system. And now she's like booking movies that are kind of tanking. Like, I think in 2007, she was working on Georgia Rule.
Oh.
And yeah. I Know Who Killed Me.
Which is available on Hulu now. Oh,
good to know. Yeah. I've actually never seen it, but I remember both were critically like
panned
yeah. and didn't do well at the box office.
They didn't. And I do remember, sorry, not to totally interrupt you,
go ahead.
Do you remember when A Prairie Home Companion came out? And it was in, like, I think 2006. Yes. June 9th, 2006. And it was directed by Robert Altman. And it had Meryl Streep was in it. And yeah. she had a role. And I remember there was a W cover of her and Meryl Streep. And it was just like, you know, the comparisons to Meryl Streep. Like, is Lindsay the new Meryl? Which I know sounds crazy now, but back then it really wasn't.
It really wasn't. That's just a ton of pressure. That's just like,
it is.
If you're just not equipped to like handle any of those things and all of a sudden things are not going well in your career, it's like totally. The thing that's going to happen is you lose it more.
Exactly. And like you were saying before, I mean, it doesn't seem like she had the best support either. And that is hard too. Once you've skyrocketed to fame and you don't really have the best people behind you. So,
right.
So then on August 23rd, 2007, she pleads guilty to misdemeanor cocaine use and driving under the influence. She's sentenced to an alcohol education program, community service, and one day in jail. And she's given 3 years probation. So this all comes to a head on November 15th in 2007, a few months later. And she spends 84 minutes in the same jail that Paris Hilton was in as well, the Linwood County Jail.
This to me is sort of like, did you ever do like, oh God, I forget what it was called in high school, but it's like where they like kill people for a day on campus.
Oh my God, where they do the drunk drive and they have
every 60 minutes or something. I forget what it's called.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
I was
traumatic.
Part of that.
Yeah.
I was one of the kids who was killed.
You were one of the actors? Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Wow.
Oh, my God. I know, right?
That's really intense.
It was really intense. It was, like, crazy. But this, to me, seems like the same exercise. Thankfully, I was not the person. There was, like, one person who actually, like, died in the car crash. Everyone else was sort of, like, removed symbolically. But there was, like, one person in our school who was, like, chosen to die.
Chosen to be the
and they had
person,
to visit the morgue.
It's like, what?
That's really scary. Oh, yeah.
You're the lucky one who gets to go to the morgue.
Oh, right. So, but to me, like, keeping Lindsay Lohan in jail for 84 minutes is sort of like that, like a version of like trying to scare someone into good behavior.
Yeah, scared straight. Yeah, yeah. Seriously. Yeah, they have a whole show about that now. Yeah. you're so right. And, you know, and later they talk about, you know, if anyone is familiar with the Bling Ring, which we did an episode on that earlier, but Lindsay was one of the houses or people that were burglared, and Alexis Nyers, again, she spent, I think, I don't know, again, Lindsay was there for 84 minutes. So Alexis was there and she heard Lindsay in the cell over like crying, I think. So
yeah. Yeah, just like a crazy, that, I mean, just 2007, once again, a crazy moment.
Seriously, and everyone's going to the Linwood County Jail. Never been, but maybe I should make a pilgrimage. I know,
right? All the stars are going.
So yeah, so that is kind of it. Let's kind of pivot to some takeaways here. I know we briefly talked about this before, but this is a great one. The Uber people.
Uber didn't exist then. They could have really used it.
They really could have. And like
it's as simple as that.
It's as simple as that. But again, like, you know, it's just, why didn't they hire a permanent driver? But, you know, like we were talking about, it's just, you just make one dumb mistake.
Suburban California, yes. Like Valley Girl decisions. Like it's happened to the best of us here in California.
It's so true. It's so true. I guess I want to ask you this. Why do you think we were so, I guess, fascinated by this, as I guess myself and you and just everyone in general? What is so fascinating about them and these women and their continued, you know, legal troubles or just troubles in general?
I would say that there's this kind of a gross instinct of human beings, which is like, you know, sort of just to rubberneck a little. Like,
it's true.
I think, and
that's a great point.
I also recognized that I was just such an intense consumer of media. I mean, look at us. We ended up in media.
Dude.
We were reading these petitions as if they were the Magna Carta. Like, of course.
It's true.
We were also internalizing the messages this media gave us. And like, it was just really misogynistic. Like, I think there was a real sort of bitterness towards like Brittany, Paris, a harshness and a bitterness towards Brittany, Paris, Lindsay. Like, they're all 20-year-olds. They all, you know, people think they're vapid and they're having ridiculous fights. And maybe they are vapid and they're having ridiculous fights, but everyone is vapid and having ridiculous fights when they're 20.
Right.
Like, there is just no version of life where you're not doing that. So,
exactly.
I think that, but we like sort of directed our ire towards like sort of the grossness of like celebrity culture and wealth at them because it seemed like they were inviting it. And they were, in a way, because they just didn't know what to do. And they didn't really have much guidance. This was unprecedented. Like, media was at a peak. You could get like $1 million from just photographing Paris Hilton in a single
That's
night.
So wild.
Like, the frenzy that creates is actually just like hard to understand to be in the center of that. So
totally.
I think it's like, why do we care about this? Misogyny, because it represented in culture, because also like nowadays, I think it's become sort of idolized in the sense that Gen Z really loves like a messy it girl.
Yes.
Who's dissociated from her trauma. Like, they are a little bit more woke
it's
when
meme
it comes
fodder.
To completely, completely. But they choose out these icons in the same way they like love Mitski for being a sad girl. It's sort of like,
oh my God.
It's fun to be a tragic mess in her flop era because
it's so true.
Everyone feels a certain level of like depravity and sadness.
Right. Yeah. There's like a weird relatability there. And you're like,
yeah,
you know, or what was one of my favorite lines was, if Britney can survive 2007, you can survive today.
Yeah, like one. It's yeah. true though. Like,
it is very true. Yeah. I know. It's so, and also I think it's interesting too to look at this in context to like social media, because we didn't have social media back then.
We had MySpace.
That's true. That's a great point. We did have MySpace. But it was almost like, you know, it's easy to control your image, I feel like, nowadays with social media, and you can feed the public what you want. And even, you know, again, I'm sorry, I keep on bringing up this freaking family every single episode of this show. The Kardashians, where they have their own show to feed us whatever narrative they want to feed us, you know? And again, a lot of times, and people don't even realize it, I feel like, and I'm part of the problem too, where it's like you just consume it and not realize that this has been all like kind of a PR ploy, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, the Kardashians are worthy of bringing up for most of these episodes because they cracked the code.
They did, yes.
In terms of control. They understood that if they had the platform in their hand, if they were producers on their own reality show, if they were the person who could log into their Instagram account, if even MySpace, Kim Kardashian was on MySpace,
yeah,
they would be able to control what photos were published, what pieces of gossip were out there, all of those things. Whereas like the paparazzi was just capturing like kind of like raw 20 somethings being
raw,
ridiculous.
Yes. And so true.
If you look at the paparazzi of TikTokers now, which I've spent a lot of time doing because I'm working on a forthcoming podcast about
it. So excited. Yes.
It's a little bit more controlled because they understand what's going on here. And
definitely.
They understand it as a vehicle to becoming more famous. And I think Paris and Lindsay understood that, but they didn't have much control over it. And at a certain point, it just like, you know, went off the rails.
It did. You're right. And I just, you know, I'm so fascinated by that aspect. And then also the relationship between the both of them, which if you don't mind, we can talk about briefly.
Yeah, it's kind of ugly.
It is ugly. I mean, it's weird because they were quote unquote friends, I guess. I don't know what exactly happened. There was an incident, if you recall, in May of 2006 when Paris Hilton's good friend, Brandon Davis, who dated Misha Barton and was the heir, he was an heir to something, to like
an oil
fortune.
I think like an oil magnate. Yeah. Like,
right. And he was also notoriously very oily.
Like he looked like moist at all times. Yes. I super remember like his hair looked like it had never been washed.
Exactly. He's always had like a little sheen to him. He, you know, I think he's drunk probably. And he says like, he calls Lindsay a fire crotch, which is obviously not, don't say that. That's a really derogatory and a horrible thing to say. And Paris kind of, and there's a video of it on TMZ, and Paris is just kind of laughing in the background. And it's pretty sick. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. That kicks off just a whole saga between them. Like it's true. This is around 2006 because they're like out partying in like West Hollywood, like on the circuit.
Yes. Which is another interesting thing. And I was reading this other article about how, you know, young Hollywood or Hollywood in general would go out to bars and clubs, which they still do. But I feel like it's not as documented almost anymore, except for, you know, on Instagram and whatnot. But this was like, you know, they were getting them out of the clubs drunk and they were saying whatever they wanted to say, which was fascinating.
Yeah, totally. And so like maybe a small like disagreement. I don't know. It's really cruel to that guy went on a whole rant. He even said something like slightly racist about who she was dating at the time.
Oh God.
Yeah. Like, so that just kicked off like a ton of back and forth because like, you know, if you're out drunk, you're like in your like whatever darkest, deepest feeling you're having is going to come out like in a way that it's not when you're sober.
Totally. Yeah. And later Lindsay again is, you know, she's getting into a car. There's video of her maybe calling Paris the C word and then immediately going, I never said that. Paris is my friend, which has become a whole meme. You can find it readily available on Twitter. And then in November of 2006, they are photographed, Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, and Britney Spears getting into a car all together. And there was a really iconic New York Post headline, Bimbo Summit.
Yes. Well, and this was also the era of them like not wearing any underwear.
Underwear, yes. I do remember that as well.
There's like, I don't know if you've read that Patricia Lockwood book that's about Twitter.
No.
But it's
I need to.
It's great. And she has like a very poetic line about how like that image sort of encapsulates America.
It's true.
But that whole Bimbo Summit, quote unquote Bimbo Summit, like, you know, talk about misogyny in the tabloids for like naming it that. That summit was orchestrated by Elliot Mintz.
Oh my gosh, was it?
Yeah, it all comes back to him. Because I think wasn't that the night that like, now I'm really getting into the weeds here. There are nights. But like, wasn't that the night that like,
together.
Lindsay Lohan was like outside of her apartment and she goes up to the paparazzi and she shows them a bruise and they're like, Paris Hilton, like she's like, Paris Hilton hit me with a bottle here.
Oh my God.
And then later that night,
yes,
she walks, like she sort of joins with Britney and Paris, and Britney and Paris had recently become friends.
Right.
And then she gets in the car with them and she was just like, Paris didn't hit me. Like, Paris is literally saying, tell them the truth. She's menacing. And she's like, Paris didn't hit me. That. We've known each other since we were 15. Paris is my good friend or something along those lines.
Yes, you're so right. And then later, I think Paris talked about that night and she said, I don't know why Lindsay Lohan just decided to come into the car.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she said that she crashed her party or something. Anyway, like,
yeah.
This stuff runs deep because, someone like ask her about it like recently, and she said a really mean thing about Lindsay Lohan?
Yes. So, and later on, and I love. You know what? I will say this: Watch What Happens Live is such a fun show, and they get like some of the best, almost underreported gossip. It's amazing. So in May 2019, Paris appears on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, and she's asked to say three nice things about Lindsay Lohan. And Paris pauses and she says, she is beyond lame and embarrassing. So, okay. So the feud is still on in 2019. But and then in 2020, it is reported that someone has written a script called Frenemy that is based on their friendship. I think it's on the blacklist, and which is just, I can't wait for this movie. I will say that. It's fascinating. People are still, I mean, we're talking about it. So yeah, people are still fascinated by all this. And again, it's one of those things where I feel like, you know, we're all re-examining everything from the 2000s once again. So of course it's, you know, going to be made into a movie. And then January of 2022. So obviously, you know, only a few months ago, Paris once again appears on Watch What Happens Live. And she decides, you know, she's turned over a new leaf. She says, she's asked by Andy where she stands with Lindsay now. And she's like, you know, we're not in high school anymore. I think it was just very immature. And now everything is all good. She's engaged. I'm married, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So,
yeah. I guess they finally buried the hatchet, or at least just become mature enough not to talk about each other in the press.
Yeah, I think, yes. The latter. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, there was also, I think there was bad blood between them because, like,
Stavros?
There was the boyfriend stealing thing or something.
The whole
like,
Stavros Niarchos thing, again, could be another episode, but
right.
It's just Google Stavros Niarchos, Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, and also Mary Kate Olsen. So.
Yeah. I think she dated a couple of her exes, but it just honestly, I just relate to some of what they went through because like, everyone was so messy in their 20s, and
it's
just like, thank God that I didn't have a camera following me around during that time. That's all I can think of.
That is the main takeaway here. Exactly. Yeah totally. And that's why they both of them hold like kind of a little sweet spot for me, you know, because just like, you know, been there, done that, and I. You know, again, they're part of my adolescence, I guess.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of grace to like sort of return to society after that. Before the call, we were talking about shame and how it's important to have.
Yes. Yes, we were.
In some form. but I think that it's sort of like accepting that that happened in your life, but still remaining a public figure to some extent requires a lot of strength that I don't know if I would have had.
I don't think I have thick enough skin for it. No, because, you know, people are bringing up stuff that they used to do all the time to them, I'm sure, like on comments and whatnot. So you're right. It does take a certain strength that I know I don't have. So where are they now? Paris. Well, she just got married to, I think his name is Carter Room. They seem happy. She had a short-lived Netflix show where she tried to resurrect her dumb blonde persona from The Simple Life, and then it got canceled, so that didn't really work out well for her. But like we were talking about before, she also had a successful YouTube documentary called This Is Paris, which we both watched.
Yeah.
And I think liked.
Yeah, she has like a true emotional journey on it. And it felt real to me. I mean,
it
definitely felt like... controlled, but it felt real.
It did. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, she's apparently still, she's trying to make SLIV. Did you hear about that? She's trying to make the word SLIV happen now.
Wait, what does SLIV stand for?
I think she literally just added an S onto the word live. And now she's been trying to make this happen for the past
five
years.
Like live the club?
I get. Oh no, no. I mean, like live your life. I think like slips, live it up. I don't.
Oh yeah. My God, is live that's how club. Broken my brain is that I'm like, oh, are you that. Referencing Live the Club? Live in Miami?
No. Oh my God.
Okay, I see SLIV, and it's what does the S for it stand for again?
All I know is that she has been selling it on t-shirts for the past 5 years and has been trying to make it happen. And it's just, it's that's hot, but it's SLIV, like SLIV your best life.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. She literally just added an S onto the word live. So
I think you're gonna need to be more innovative than that.
Exactly.
To
yeah.
get my attention. Just
truly. And then Lindsay Lohan, she I'm so happy for her because she's going to be starring in a new Netflix holiday rom-com with Court Overstreet from Glee. There were pictures put out last year. I know. It's really, she looks great. She also has a podcast now. And I saw that she did her most recent episode with Bobby from Queer Eye, which is exciting. And she is engaged and she lives overseas in Dubai, which, you know, I think that's good. Good for her.
Yeah. She's adopted that European expat accent.
A la Madonna and Gwyneth Paltrow. Yes. Yeah,
sometimes you got to do it. And
true.
I remember during my like most recent real like vivid memory of her during quarantine, it was like I was on that, you know, the audio app Clubhouse.
Yes.
That sort of became popular during quarantine and then like stopped being popular. Yes. At one point she was in a room with Perez Hilton. Yeah. And she was like, I'm good. And that like the whole sort of tagline of the room was like, she was going to share new music. She was going to play it.
Oh shit.
But she was like having so much trouble playing. Like she couldn't play it. Like she was having like technical difficulties.
That's so relatable. I love it.
I know. And like, I don't think I ever got to hear the song, but it was just like one of those, you know, one of the many nights I stayed in during quarantine. I remember like spending it with Paris Hilton.
Or I love that.
With Perez Hilton and Lindsay Lohan.
That's great. I love that. Yeah. You know, I think now that you mention it, I do remember she came out with like a dance club-y kind of song and, you know.
Yeah. And she had that reality TV show in Greece, right? Yeah,
the Lohan Beach House Mykonos, which I think got shut down because of the pandemic, unfortunately, before I could stop by. But yeah, but I am really banking on her Netflix holiday deal. I'm really excited for her, you know?
Yeah, me too. I'll definitely watch them.
Same. So, okay, well, this is really fun. Do you have any final words you want to say about this?
I'm really glad you had me on to talk about this important moment in history.
Me too. This has been great.
Just like 2007, there's never going to be another year like it.
Oh my, you can, it's so true. And part of me is like, thank God. But again, it's fun to look back. It's really fun to look back. So thank you so much to my co-host, Alyssa Bereznik. Thank you so much to our producer, Kaya McMullen. And we will be back. So stay tuned for more from Pop Culture History Lesson on The Ringer Dish.
Thanks, Amelia.